Hey there, strangers. I'm so sorry I ghosted you guys for a little bit. Ghosting is a term for dating, but I'm going to apply it for podcasting. So I podcast ghosted you guys. I'm really sorry, but unlike that dude who stood you up or that lady who never returned your call, I have a good excuse. I'd prefer not to have the excuse. I'd prefer my only excuse to be laziness. But I'm sure that plays into this equation somehow. I'm sure there's laziness involved, but my excuse is unfortunately legit. You always want an excuse to get out of things. Once you get the excuse to get out of things, you're like, I'd take the duty. I would much rather be doing the podcast and not have this going on. So what this is that I'm referring to is my mother has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is cancer, and it's in stage 3, aggressive. However, the good news with that is that being that the cells, being that the cells rapidly multiply, I want to say reproduce, but I know they're not doing it in there. But since they are rapidly reforming or making, I don't know. You guys know I'm not a doctor. I clearly don't have to tell you that. The way I'm speaking makes it quite obvious. But because they are rapidly regenerating, that means they can be killed quickly and be cured quickly. So we're feeling good about the situation. As you'll see in the episode, I talk about how I'm afraid to speak positively and say we're feeling hopeful and positive because I'm afraid I'm going to jinx it. And I also don't want to talk negatively because I don't want to, put that out there. And so I just want to go mute, which Kyle suggests that I do. And I kind of am into it. So I've been missing a little bit because that has taken over my life a bit, obviously. And it will for some time until we beat this thing. I'm being positive there. That was really hard for me to do and say, because again, the jinx thing, knocking on wood 3 times, because if you do it twice, then you might negate the first one. So 3 times, knock on wood. Lord help me. So my presence on this podcast may not be super consistent over the next couple of months. I hope it is, but I'm just giving you guys a heads up that this is why I may not be here weekly or bi-weekly, as it has kind of turned into. And my priority being my mom, I'm okay with that, but I do feel bad at the same time. And I'm going to give you a quick little rundown of my current situation and why I feel a little bit numb or just a little bit. So there's a scene in Overboard, the movie, not the new one. I refuse to see remakes of movies of that caliber. So Overboard, the original, Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell, and this rich woman, Goldie Hawn, is, if you've never seen it, she hits her head and is rescued by people. Oh, I should preface. She's living on a yacht, and she falls overboard, gets amnesia, and Kurt Russell, her carpenter, basically claims her as her husband, or claims her as her wife, his wife. Yee! I'm really not with it, and you guys, please forgive me. Normally, I would stop and re-record that, but I don't have it in me. So he claims her as his wife, and she has amnesia. So she buys it, but things aren't really feeling right. Like, things just aren't, clicking for the fact that she lives in a rundown cabin type of thing with broken down vehicles and 5 or 4 boy children. And, she's used to wearing sequins gowns on a daily basis and having butlers. And, at one point, when she's trying to do the laundry and keep up with the kids and the dog and all of that stuff, she kind of loses it. And the kids put her in a barrel of water. And she just stares off into space and goes, I am kind of in the barrel. Not that I was a rich woman on a yacht living the high life, but things were a lot different for me before, when I was living in Los Angeles and not at my parents' house. And I mean, things were hard. Things have always been hard. But things keep getting shittier, and I'm trying really hard to make them not shitty. And I think that I'm going into some sort of numb zone. But the scary part about a numb zone is once you're not in that zone, yikes. But right now, I'm just, like you'll hear in the episode, I have fun with Kyle. This is the only time I've actually had fun in the past month or so. Despite what Instagram tells you and despite what my my laughter in this episode tells you, things ain't great. But again, I've gone into a zombie mode. And for, you know, the duration I will stay, I will remain. Being a zombie is a lot easier than being a human being sometimes. To summarize why, you know, obviously the cancer stuff would lend itself to explaining why things are not great. But I just want to give you guys a summary. Things could be worse. Things could be way worse. But a lot of people write to me and they're like, I just can't keep going because things just keep going wrong. I feel you. I feel you. And what we're basically doing is we're getting up and we're walking head forward into an ocean of massive waves. And of course, the wave hits us and we fall over. And then we get thrown around in the wave and maybe we almost break our neck or we break our neck. Things can get really messy. Hopefully, if you're not paralyzed from breaking your neck, you stand up and you walk forward toward the next oncoming wave. And then the next, and then the next, and then the next. And then we die. So life's great. But I'm in the, you know, the waves. I'm getting knocked over by one, standing up, going forward, getting knocked over by another, standing up, going forward. Again, things could be worse, but they're not great. And just to summarize, I say to Kyle, since Stevie, my co-host of this podcast, passed away from suicide, if you guys have never really listened to the show before, harsh way to tell you, but my co-host took her own life. And since then, things went okay. You know, things have been okay, but it feels like a cycle of hell since then. And it's been 2.5 years. So I'm like, you know, getting up and moving forward, but then something knocks me down again. And, you know, so starting with Stevie, Stevie took her own life. That started this kind of new phase of my life. And I've tried to make things work and I've tried to take what is positive from it. And I still am. And again, I think it's a zombie thing, but I'm still moving forward like a, you know, person who's been shot through the heart like 10 times and you just kind of keep moving forward. But since, you know, so basically I'll give you guys a little rundown of my life. I've actually never really talked about this either. So I was in a relationship for 8 years. We broke up and, you know, I'm on my own, whatever. That's, I'm not going to get into the relationship, but 8 years I had a boyfriend. We broke up. I had to kind of restart my life. And that's when Stevie came in and we started doing the podcast. And then she was out of my life pretty quickly in a very traumatic way. And then I don't want to say that. I can't say this next part of what happened. One day I will, but I can't right now. But something really good seemed to happen, but then something really bad happened right after it. And I can't, again, say what it is. But that was very devastating and awful. And then I left L.A. Well, this was kind of in between or during while the other bad thing was happening. I left L.A. and moved home, which has never been in the stars for me in my mind. Stevie and I actually said this before, and she was obviously much more literal about it. but we both said we would kill ourselves before we'd move back to our hometown. She killed herself, and I am in my hometown. So this is not where I want to be, and this is where I am right now. I didn't think I would be here for that long. But so my life was kind of uprooted, and I left LA. I'm now back at my parents'. And then I'm here kind of trying to get my feet together, my feet on the ground, or get myself on my feet. Actually, I think my feet have always been on the ground, unfortunately. I'd love to float away, but I'm trying to get myself more on my feet. I was not loving my life in LA after the thing happened with Stevie. It was just enough is enough. I lived in LA for 10 years, and I love the East Coast, and I wanted to get to New York. So I left LA, came back to the East Coast, and ended up being at my parents' much longer than I expected. I thought I was going to be living in the city by now, but I am at my parents', which is a hard pill to swallow. What's lovely is the fact that I have them and that I'm getting to spend time with my family, but I feel like my life has been on hold now for quite some time, and as every day goes by, I get more anxious and more anxious and more anxious. So when I got back, you know, I figured I'd be home for a couple months. And then my dog, who was always very high maintenance in a sense, ended up getting very, very sick. He had dementia, which was very difficult. And I was trying to figure out how I would live with him in New York City in a small apartment with him walking into corners and having accidents constantly and, like, you know, being incredibly aggressive. He bit me all the time once he became, now I'm getting exactly what he's had, dementia. And, so I put off going to the city, and then he got really sick with kidney failure, and that was a pretty excruciating death. Essentially, I kept him alive too long. And that ripped my heart out. So it was like one thing after another. It's just a dog, quote unquote, but it's not just a dog. So that was very difficult. And then right after he died, my other dog, which I found her on the street, and then my brother took her and was taking care of her and had her for 2 years, but I had been back home, and so she kind of became my dog again after my dog died, because my brother wanted her to keep me company, and he, I don't think, could really handle the responsibility with his full-time job, etc. So she kind of became mine again. And right after my dog, Han Solo, his name was Hansi, as I called him. I didn't pick the name, just for the record. I have never really seen Star Wars. I was going to say Starbucks. I have seen Starbucks. I would actually like to name him after Starbucks. I go there so much, or would have named him after Starbucks. So right after Hansi died, Foca, the other dog, she also came with a name, which means seal in Spanish. She collapsed and was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. And since then, she's been on insane amounts of medication, and it's been a very traumatic experience because she has these episodes or spells where she looks like she's having a seizure or a stroke or something, or a heart attack. And that's been very hard to see and deal with. The medication she's on has only risen. I'm spending thousands and thousands of dollars on her medical care, which is money that I've wanted to save to go to New York. So I feel like I've just not really been able to move forward, and I'm trying really hard to, and I'm sorry, I'm crying. I thought I was a zombie. Apparently I'm not. I think if I talk long enough, I start to pull emotions out because I've suppressed them a lot. So anyway, she has, you know, she's constant. I give her pills. It was 2 times a day, morning and night, about 8 pills at night and 7 or 8 pills in the morning, 7 at night or so. And then she's gotten worse, so we've added pills. So it's 3 times a day. but she has now, not now, it's been recent. I'm sorry, I'm speaking so choppily, so my apologies. I'm trying to focus. It's very difficult to focus. She has right-sided heart failure, which means she accumulates fluid in her belly. So her belly just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And when I found her 3 years ago, she weighed roughly about 16 pounds, 15 or 16 pounds. And that's what she weighs now with the fluid in her belly. But when we drain the fluid, she loses 3 to 3.5 pounds. So she's down to about 12.5 pounds or so after we drain the fluid. So she's deteriorating a bit. And if you can imagine, 3.5 pounds in her belly when she's only a 15-pound dog, and then that's gone in an hour of draining, it's really extreme. And I was hoping not to have to tap it so much, like drain it, but when it gets so big, she gets incredibly uncomfortable and stops eating and becomes incredibly lethargic. But all that fluid is around all these organs that, again, not a doctor, as you guys are aware, but it makes her organs not function properly because they're not getting the right blood flow through them and all of that kind of stuff. So she has really bad, you know, like diarrhea and all sorts of things. But anyway, since we taped this episode, Kyle and I, that you'll be listening to, hopefully very soon, because this has been an incredibly long intro. Since we taped this, some things have shifted. We taped this episode on Friday. Today is Wednesday. Since taping, I took her to the vet again to have her stomach drained again, which I had just done 2 weeks ago, and it filled back up massively. And the vet brought up putting her down, and that is really hard and really awful timing. And my mom is in love with this dog and is currently going through cancer, and the idea of losing this dog right now, rough, no pun intended. But also I'm hesitant, and the vet didn't say you have to put her down, you know, and if you don't, you're a bad person. But she said it's okay to start considering euthanizing her because, you know, she's terminal. And what happens is her belly gets so big and she seems sick, really sick. But then once I drain her belly, she seems normal about 24 hours later, because when they tap her belly, they have to put her under because she has a lot of anxiety and she doesn't sit still, and they can't do it properly. So they knock her out to do this, and then it takes about 18 hours or so, I'd say, to come out of the medication that they give her. So all day yesterday, she was, after getting her belly drained, she was really out of it. And then once she kind of came to, she just whimpered for hours and hours and hours. And I had to put headphones in last night to go to sleep because of her whimpering. And when I was rubbing her and petting her, she seemed to stop whimpering. So I don't think she was in like actual pain. I think she was just in like a distress type of mode. Today she's not whimpering at all. But anyway, so now I've kind of got that on the horizon, which is not much to look forward to. And so for me, because I struggle with depression, what gets me out of bed, most like anyone else with or without depression, is hope, having something to look forward to. And right now, I really don't have much to look forward to. I've become a caretaker, and I'm really grateful that I'm able to be here with my mother and for this animal, this dog. And I hate to say this, and I say that later in the show too, for my dog. I'm grateful for that opportunity, but I feel like my life has just stopped. Like any goals that I seem to have or any dreams that I seem to have, they're kind of going away. And that's really, really hard. And I know they're not totally going away. It's just that I can't do anything about them right now. I'm stuck in my parents' house at 36 years old with a dying dog and a mother with cancer. And, you know, I know this is a phase of life. Everything changes, but it's a really hard time that I'm going through. So anyway, kind of grateful to show emotion right now so you guys really get on my side about this, maybe not having an episode up every week and you'll sympathize with me. Anyway, and just to top it all off, not that this is that devastating, but I met like the guy of my dreams and he's unavailable. He's got a girlfriend. So, you know, it'd be like, if shit was going wrong, shit was going wrong, shit was going wrong, and then I, like, met this great guy, and we started dating, at least there's that, but, like, that doesn't even work, so, anyway, I thought I was gonna be funnier in this intro and make it short and snappy, turns out I didn't, but actually, no, I did go to the gastroenterologist recently, and he stuck his finger up my butt, so things are going pretty well. And I do have something to look forward to because I have to get a colonoscopy. Life. Isn't it just so sweet? It's the best. Anyway, never believe Instagram is the point of this because I look totally okay on Instagram and I am not. But I'm doing what I can to keep my brain afloat. Today was a little hard because since taping this episode with Kyle on Wednesday, it is now... Or no, we taped on Friday. Dear God, see, my mind is just, like, my mom has chemo brain, but, like, I think I have chemo brain secondhand, like, secondhand chemo brain. My mom has, since we taped this episode with Kyle, I talk about how she hasn't lost her hair. She's mostly lost all of her hair. And so that's, shit's hard. Hair matters. But she wrote a beautiful thing this morning to help her through this. And it was, I wish I had it in front of me, but it was her trying to get a grip on the fact that she is not her hair and her hair doesn't define her. And, you know, it was something like, I don't see the sunset with my hair. I don't hug my children with my hair. I wish she kind of did because that would actually be a cozy hug. I don't hold my grandchild with my hair. I don't paint with my hair. You know, and so she still has all those things just without hair. And she wrote more. I just can't remember it all. But anyway, hard shit. Hard shit. So I don't know. If you're going through something hard, I get it. I don't know. It's hard. Anyway, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to let you guys enjoy this week's episode because it's actually kind of funny. Kyle's very funny on it. I'm off my game. So you're welcome, Kyle, for making you look good. So I try my best, but I hope you guys are all doing well. I want to say thank you to my new Patreon people, Daniel D and Jamel B. Thanks, guys, for being awesome. And I'm posting videos and stuff on there of this experience, somewhat like a video diary somewhat, and I also posted this entire episode that I taped with my camera, video camera, on Patreon as well. So if you want to see Kyle and I in action, go check it out at Kristen and Chill. No, that's not it. See, God, my brain. Go to patreon.com/Kristen and Chill, and that's it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all your lovely messages. And please say a prayer for my mom. And yeah, I don't know. I feel weird because I just made it all about me, my mom's cancer. And it's not all about me. But this intro was all about me. That's for sure. All right. Oh, and just for the record, before the show starts, I talk about a mouse in Kyle's house. I ended up freeing the mouse. What I wanted to tell you guys was that I haven't eaten meat since then. I'm sure I will very soon, but, I haven't. I just haven't been able to bring myself to do it. I'll go back to apathy very quickly. Okay, all right. Now enjoy this week's show.
I don't know if...
I'm going to start talking.
So I'm already like, oh, Jesus, there's so much to do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's like, pick a date. I'm like, yeah, we'll come up with a date whenever. She's like, well, what are you thinking? I'm like, years, probably not enough time.
All right, so Kyle just got engaged and my mom just got cancer. So we're totally on the same page. Everything's working out for both of us.
Opposite spectrum for both of us.
Everything's working out. But the thing is, what you were just saying is you're going to procrastinate planning it, because I'll tell you why. The guy has so much more work into the lead-in that once she says yes, you're done. It almost feels like now your job's over.
Well, that's the thing. That was...
So it'd be like, all right, that's it.
It took a lot to ask.
Right.
I need a break. Right. I need a break from this. I had to plan the trip to Dua and get the ring and all that stress that comes with it. Now I just want to say, like, yep, I did it. I'm done.
It's like you built the bridge over the Hudson River. You want to go take a nap. You don't want to now drive over it a bunch of times. That's exactly. A really dumb analogy.
Yes, it was. It was.
I was really hoping that was going to go
somewhere. You're really reaching. You should probably think of the second part before you say the first.
Sorry, I'm too distracted with my mom's cancer. Yes. So how did she... I'm going to get into that, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it all about me.
Yep.
And even though it's her cancer.
I feel
but
guilty
I know.
Talking about my engagement.
Well, like, I want to have some...
Enough of your mom. Let's talk about the greatest moment of my life.
Well, resident consultant Jen is redoing her kitchen. So in between her asking me, how's your mom? How is her chemo?
She's like, so what's the treatment like? Do you like this cabinet? Like this?
Right. What do you think about this backsplash? Yeah. And so she at one point was like, the kitchen seems stupid at this point. And I was like, it is, it isn't, but it is,
yeah.
And it's a good distraction, so keep sending me the shit.
Yeah, right.
And I can live vicariously through your backsplash.
Through your new kitchen.
It's pathetic. But I want to know about the engagement, because I want to have the show feel nice and then terrible. And then
we'll talk about the guests like and bring it up, and then we'll talk about me and go down real low. No, I just, I knew I was going to do it for a while, and I told you, I don't know, how long ago I told you I was going to do it.
Yeah, a while ago.
A long time ago.
6 years ago?
No. But I got the ring and we went to Colorado. And I wanted to do it on a hike, like up a mountain.
That would be great. So in case you dropped the ring, it would go down a ravine that you could never find. That's a great spot for a proposal.
Well, you know, it's supposed to be romantic and a view and the whole thing. You picture all that and it's like...
I'd be like,
trails,
no, I'm the view. Yeah. We don't need a view.
The trails we were on were like packed with people. Like it's like very touristy, like where we were.
Yeah.
And so, which for one is good, because if it was like real hardcore stuff, I wouldn't be down for it. But
you're saying like the everyday person can walk this. Like, yeah, obviously you're on it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I didn't have a second alone, so I didn't do it. Then... the next day, I was like, I got to get this done because it's just eating alive.
It's kind of like a murder.
Yeah.
You've got a murder plan, this is perfect because you're going on a hike.
Yep.
Easily, you could murder someone there. Yep. Yep. No one around. But you were foiled because there were people around. And then you're getting nervous now.
I called a quick audible.
You did.
I was like, I can't go through with this. Too many witnesses.
But the problem is the next day, your plan isn't
I got to kill this person.
Right. And like, this is not what you were planning for. You were planning on the hike.
Yes.
So then where'd you do it?
So the next day we went to the Main Street area. There's a lot of shops. And we walked up and down.
Like, there's going to be no people there.
No, but then there's like a river walk next to like a nature trail. And it was pretty dead. And... I was like, okay, I'm just going to get it over with.
Were you acting awkwardly? Was she on to you?
Do you imagine I wasn't?
No.
I mean.
She had to have been in her head going, say it.
You know what? She said that the last few trips we've gone on, she's thought. So she's taught herself not to because
you haven't.
It just hasn't happened. So I finally... was like, okay, there's nobody around. We're next to a creek. That's good enough. I went from the mountaintops of Colorado to a creek.
This'll do. There's some trickling water.
And I said, I got to tie my shoe. And I got down on the knee. And
was your shoe untied?
No.
See, it should have been untied.
I think I said
totally
I have to
believable.
Fix my shoe.
Okay.
Like,
was your shoe broken?
Well, no, but the tongue was slid over to the left.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like, so I just messed with the tongue. And then I honestly, I don't even really remember this, but she tells me this because I blacked out because I was so and I knew she'd say yes, you know, but I was still. So I reached in my pocket and I took the ring out and I said, "What do you say?"
I love it because you have an old timiness about you. And so it's a perfect 1920s.
She looked at me and I said, will you marry me? And she said, yes. And then I closed the box and handed it to her. Oh my God. And I stood up and she said, well, put it on me. And so I took it out and I put her on, you know, and everything was good there. I was good. As soon as I said it, all of that weight was gone, yeah, and all the pressure was gone and it was good. And then we were able to enjoy the rest of the vacation. And then I thought, well, she said no. And I'm on vacation with her. I mean, she almost had to say yes, at least for that three or 4 days while we were away.
I know. I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah, you'd have to say yes.
I hate awkward.
And then later on, weasel your way out of it somehow. Yeah, text. Don't ever see me again. I won't marry you.
No, I couldn't be that straightforward.
Yeah, right.
I'd be like, I think I just.
So then it's, a lot comes with it.
Yeah, I know. That's why on one hand, I'm like,
it's really the beginning. You feel like I got done with that and I felt like, oh, this is over. And it's like,
no, it's just begun.
This is just the beginning.
But for you, it felt like a whole marathon.
Yeah.
But the marathon hasn't even started yet.
No, I just got my number.
Yeah.
They just put me at the starting line. But so it was good. It was a really good trip. It was fun.
If I was in a marathon, I would refuse the bib. I don't need a bib.
I don't know. I don't like how they call them bibs.
Me neither. I've worked this hard to wear a bib.
That's why I said number.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did.
Because honestly, bib just sounds like, okay, grow up.
Well, right. You've worked this hard and now you got to wear a bib.
You got to wear a bib. Really? You expect us to take you seriously with a bib?
They're like, well, you're probably going to be drooling by the end. The beginning.
I'd be throwing up, drooling, everything. I would need a bib.
It actually will come in handy.
Yes.
So, okay. So you got engaged. Your life is moving forward. Things are blossoming. Everything's coming up roses.
Yes.
For Kyle.
I don't know about that.
But. at least roses without thorns. I've got a lot of thorns. So I haven't put an episode out since the last one with you.
Yes.
Because I found out very close after we taped that episode that my mom has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And when you came over that day, my mom was at the hospital. Yep. And I said, there's a chance she... And I was kind of joking because I really didn't think it was going to be anything.
Yeah, you never do.
No.
Yep.
So I joked with you and I said, just a heads up, my mom might walk in and say, I have cancer. Yeah. And you were like, oh, that would suck.
Yeah, that would be the worst.
Luckily for you, she didn't.
I had a hard time eating hamburgers with her.
I know. Could you imagine if you were there for that news?
Oh, no.
And that's why
I probably would have literally ran out the door.
I know. But I really didn't think that would even be a thing.
Yeah.
So I wasn't worried about it.
No.
And so that was like a week or two before she actually ended up finding out, and the whole process of medical stuff is just so tedious. And she came home that day, she had no answers. And I said on my Patreon page that I didn't think it was going to be anything. Cause I said, my mom got some tests. She's got these swollen lymph nodes or these swollen bumps in her groin, but I really don't think it's going to be anything. And I truly didn't. And so, when we found out, it was like, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, people have to deal with real shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have to deal with real shit now.
Yeah.
And I've had real shit to deal with. I do feel like since Stevie died that my life's been this cycle of hell.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I can't really say exact. I want to say, because first I lost my co-host friend to suicide, then started something that I can't really talk about that turned out to be horrific.
Yep.
And then my dog got horribly sick, kidney disease, died. A month after he died, my other dog gets heart disease. She's completely she's a huge handful to take care of today. She just threw a bile on the, it's like mm-hmm. she has 8 different medications in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, and 7 at night.
Jeez.
And so it's like, and then add to the whole pile my mom. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I don't ever say Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But it's like, come the fuck on. And I know things could be way worse, but it's like not great. And right now I feel a little bit numb.
Yeah.
Because it's almost comical to me at this point. all the shit that's just not working out, or things just seem to keep getting
fucked up. You didn't reach out and tell me.
Of course I didn't.
Which, I get that. Like, hey.
Hey, by the way. It almost feels like a...
I just
wanted
to let you know. I get that. But I felt bad that I found out you tweeted something about it.
Well, it's like, that's what it's like when you're a celebrity. You just tweet out and then the world finds out you're divorced. You know, it's just how
it
works.
I just felt like, oh my gosh, I felt awful. But yeah, I guess it would be weird if you reached out like,
yeah,
hey, what are you doing? Nothing.
My mom's by the way, my mom's got cancer. It's a weird thing. So you realize, I think, all of the little nuances that go into something like this that you don't if you're not going through it. And when I first found out, I was, you know, I like cried and all that kind of stuff, and then kind of fell into like a deep depression of like, and I think that this is the typical phase or the typical like route that you go through, or path or something. I'm not saying that right, but like the different
stages.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And no pun intended, because cancer is all stages.
Yeah, that's right.
But the different stages. So it was really, really, really life altering. When I found out, we didn't know like the stage or anything like that. So we had no concept of how beatable this was, how far it had gone.
That is a very beatable one, though.
It is. Actually,
one of my boss at work is going through treatment for that right now. She's on the second half, and it looks like it's all gone.
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Yes, the exact. And it was a tough treatment. I mean, she had really hard time with the chemo and with the treatments.
Yeah.
She really did. But now she's like down to less treatment and she's on her way back. And last time I saw her, she looked like amazing.
Wow. And so, when did she get it? Like 6 months ago?
I want to say it's probably been about 4.5, 5 months since she's been first started the treatment. And they said, you know,
that's
it could
that,
be
that's...
6 to 8 months of
right
really feeling it. And then you should be okay.
Yeah. And so know? I think we're all very hopeful, but I'm very, superstitious. Mm-hmm. So if I talk positively, I'm afraid I'm going to jinx myself. But then if I talk negatively, I'm afraid I'm going to put that into the universe.
Yeah, right.
So I don't really know what to say when someone's like,
might just be your excuse to not talk about it.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Or just not talk at all.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm going to go mute in general, just in life.
You really don't have what you say is not going to affect any outcome. You know that, right?
Yeah, but I'm still paranoid. I still feel like, you know, something that I do, like, I always felt like
this is your narcissism
on
the biggest level.
I know
that you really think like you're gonna affect the outcome of something.
But
like
it's because
this.
I do think the world is made up of energy, and if there's a certain energy put out there, but it's not as insane as like minute. But I just don't want to put the wrong things out there. And when I was a kid, I would fly, and I thought if I moved my leg too much to the right, the plane would tip.
Oh, okay.
So it's like
flying a plane.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly. You would think stuff you would do on the plane would affect,
right? But not in like a narcissistic way, but more in, I mean, I don't know, I'm gonna get off of this because I have much more interesting things to say. But I kind of went into like this depression, and then the next stage is finding out what actually is going on with the cancer, and then you become, or I did, driven and motivated and almost in a autopilot kind of mode of where it's just beat this and do whatever it is you have to do to beat it. And it's almost like putting on blinders. So I feel like I put on blinders and I'm not really responding to much stimuli besides my mom and what she needs and my dog and of course sleep. Mm-hmm. But I've spoken to a couple people and they said that, like, this one girl was like, are you in that, is this reality stage? Oh yeah, that was the other stage. So it's depression. And then is this actually real and happening? And then the fuck this, let's beat this. And so I didn't get to the fuck this, let's beat it until we found out what stage and stuff. And so it took forever. It was like excruciating. Going back to like talking about murder.
Yep.
If you're on trial for murder and you didn't do it, and you're waiting for the jury to come back to tell you if you're getting life in prison or you're innocent. It was like that feeling of like, I know my mom's innocent, but is the jury going to come back and say that like she's still going to be able to have a life? Or is the jury going to come back and say that it's life in prison or the death penalty or whatever? And so she did this PET scan and it scans her whole body to see where the cancer is because of lymph nodes. They're all over your body. So it looks like it's all over your body. But
she didn't, it did not spread to other organs, okay, which was huge.
So that's, yeah, super big.
Yeah. So it's almost like the way you released after, it's not like an organ, the way you released after.
I was going to say, you go into an orgasm or gas?
They're the same, yeah, or sneeze,
they're,
all
they're
three.
They're closer than you think.
Ugh, all very satisfying.
At the same time.
But like with your fiance, the minute you asked, it was almost like your whole body let down. Yes. You're like, ugh. The minute we found out it was not spread to other organs, my whole body almost let down. And I went into this just kind of like non-existent mode of just like blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And then I went into like the let's fight it and let's beat it mode. But my mom, what I want to talk about with that is her kind of now experience with maybe depression. Because you get cancer.
Yep. A lot of people get depressed.
You can get severely depressed. Yeah. So my mom was like, maybe wanting to go on antidepressants, but she's very afraid of them. And I had to kind of like talk smack to her because she does look at antidepressants as like scary things.
Yeah.
And
which is crazy.
Totally crazy.
Like
totally
she'll trust a doctor with everything except for that. Then that's, you know, it's like the stigma. It's the generation though.
It is the generation.
It is 100%. I mean, there's still a little stigma, but for someone her age, there's a big stigma.
Yeah.
To
but she also looks at them like they're going to turn her into
like a zombie,
either a zombie or
she lives with you.
She'd rather be a zombie.
She's like, look
I'm
what
wrong.
A difference Kristen. I know.
No, seriously, whatever she's taking, don't give me. But I had to say, look, cause I don't really talk about being on antidepressants with my family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we had this family meeting one night and I'm like, what is this? The worst sitcom of all time. So we had this family meeting of the plan for my mom and like what we're going to do and everything. And she brought up, or I brought up Ativan because I've heard that that really helps with nausea. I've never known to say nausea. Is it nausea or nausea?
You can say either, I think.
Okay. Well,
say like crack and creak.
I mean, either of them. If I say nausea, I almost feel like nauseous because it sounds so fancy.
Okay.
Like, so I suggested Ativan, which is almost like a Xanax and a Klonopin. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
No.
Yeah. I can tell because your eyes go wide.
No.
Like they go really
wide. How about pot?
It's almost like a pot plus some.
I know about that.
Right.
That's it.
But people smoke pot to get through cancer and it's similar kind
or
of
they
thing.
Take, it's a pill form and stuff too, you know, like.
Yeah, but my mom
have to be lighting up bongs.
Well, the thing is,
your mom smoking pot is like the weirdest thing in the world to think about.
I said to her, I said when she was in a good frame of mind, because I want to be funny with her with this and keep it light.
Yeah.
And so the right opportunity came up and I said, you know, this could be the best thing that ever happened to you. She's going to be smoking pot. She's like doing Xanax. She's drinking, you know, like she's been so uptight her whole life.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe this should have happened to you 20 years ago. I would have had a much more fun mom.
You'll loosen
She's
up.
She's so inhibited.
When you're done with this, everything is going to be a gift. You're going to appreciate everything.
Right. More. And so that comes to the conversation of hair loss. And so that has been the most upsetting, traumatizing part of this
you know,
to her.
It's my, so my mom's sister, she passed away from pancreatic cancer, colon cancer.
Pancreatic?
It had spread.
Pancreatic makes over. It sounds like it's like deep sea or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Aquatic. Like,
so when she got diagnosed, I was really close to her actually. And when she got diagnosed, she told me and I had the very similar reaction. Like, okay, it's not real cancer. You know, like she'll be fine. This is, you know, whatever.
And that's what I don't want to do.
And then it wasn't fine. Right. And she obviously had a struggle and she fought it for as long as she could. And there were some good moments and bad. And then she was having surgery and surgery and surgery. And eventually she lost the fight. But through all that, the hair loss thing was like the toughest thing for her. I think for a lot of women, it's like they've lost their
femininity.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
my
exactly.
Yeah, and my mom is just, I mean, I've seen her cry over and over. She's not a basket case, but
no.
With her hair, she's just so traumatized and she's sobbing and she's just like, they take everything from you and then they have to take your dignity.
Yep. And that is the best way to put it, because I remember my aunt saying this. She's like, you have no energy, you have no health, you can't eat anything. And then they take any little bit of pride you have left.
Right,
too.
Right. And they make you look almost alien like, and I don't want to say that, but so that's been so traumatizing for my mom. And again, I'm trying to make light of certain things where I can. And so the experience of looking for wigs, why is there not like a big business out there that knows how to make just incredibly realistic wigs?
There probably is.
It's very tricky.
Not in the Mohawk Valley.
No. So the worst thing that she could have done and that I could have done for both of our mental healths. Would that make sense?
Yeah. The mental health of both of us.
Yes. Maybe thank you. You should say it like thank that. You, sir. was to go somewhere locally and start looking for wigs. Yep. And I did warn my mom. I said, whatever's nearby and whatever we can just like pop into is probably not going to be a great option. And it's going to make you like want to actually die from the cancer. That's how bad those wigs are going to be.
Yeah, you're going to feel like hopeless when yes. you see what they have.
But my mom was so freaked about, and this was before she started chemo. Yep. She was so freaked about it that she was like, no, we need to go somewhere by the end of today because I want to start. And I said, okay, all right. You know, and so we went somewhere in Whitesboro and holy hell.
Not good.
This woman with like,
did you see anything that might look good on me?
No. Unless it was an actual face wig.
Yes, no. A mask. Yeah, it's called a mask.
Well, the thing is, you could put a wig like this on whoever a big supermodel is right now. Who's popular? I know you're into these ladies.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Giselle.
Well, I always go to say to Giselle, but she's like kind of,
she's still the name though, right? Yeah. Like for the looks, you just need a...
Someone like Gigi Hadid. Do you know who Gigi is?
I've heard the name.
All right.
I don't know who
she's young,
is,
fresh.
Yeah.
You could put a wig on her.
Is she with Bieber?
No. That's Haley Baldwin.
Okay.
Speaking of baldness.
Yeah. Okay.
Haley Baldwin. But you could put this wig on the biggest supermodel in the world and she would look idiotic. And you'd be like, look at that horrific thing.
Is she going for a look similar to what she naturally has?
Yes.
She does want to go crazy. big red beehive.
No, but I tried to, you know, when the moment was right, I was like, Mom, honestly, if I were you, I'd rock it out. And that's what they did on Sex and the City. I know you're not a big Sex and the City guy.
Not at all.
It'd be hilarious if you were.
I'm hardly a sex or a city guy.
Or a guy.
Yeah, or a guy. So no.
You know, that was obviously not going to fly. She wanted something really natural. So we went to several places and each time it was like a mental breakdown. And my sister went a couple times. I went every time. And I have had to, in a way, it's like been good for my depression and bad at the same time because it puts things in perspective.
And it gives you need tasks.
And it gives you a purpose.
Responsibility. And, yeah.
Right. And so that's where the good part comes in, is that I've almost stop focusing on myself and just started focusing on my mom. And I'm still struggling and I still struggle and stuff, but not in the way that I was, but that'll come back. Yeah. I'll get to be selfish again very soon.
Yes.
I'm like, God damn it. This really makes it hard to be selfish. Like I did not have this in my plans of you having cancer.
Does it make you feel a little bit older?
Makes me feel a lot older.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm caring for an elderly parent. Yeah, it's very upsetting.
My mom had a heart attack, and when she had her heart attack,
she did?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Jeez,
it was pretty bad.
Oh my god,
she was, what's ironic is she was in Philadelphia with my aunt who had cancer, taking care of her.
Oh jeez,
and she had a heart attack, so then they were both in the hospital in Philadelphia.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was wild. And life. You do feel like, I'm sure it's the same way when you see your mom not doing well, like there's a certain sense of like, wow, when did my mom become this sick old woman in a hospital bed?
Yeah.
And like that can really hit you in the face and really bring you down to earth, like a sobering moment.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah,
like when I walked in and saw her in the hospital hooked up, she had a tube down her throat and couldn't talk and stuff, and she just had a heart attack. Yeah. So obviously she didn't look great, but she just looked old and sick.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you realize I'm not the little kid anymore. I have a little bit of responsibility, and it is super sobering. It's a real moment the first time you see one of your parents that week, because you hold them up.
Yep.
As like invincible for so long that when you see them like that, it is, It can shake you for sure.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say invincible. I definitely think my parents are both weak and very easily to be
well,
taken
yes,
down.
They made you.
But there is that part of it that is, like you said, sobering. And I can't really actually put it into words and articulate it the way I want to, because that I think has been part of the hardest part for this for me, is that you realize your mortality.
Yep.
And that your parents are now the older generation. And what I keep looking for is that demarcation in life where I was supposed to recognize it. Like, I was just 20 years old and going to college, and now my parents are like elderly. Yeah. and sick.
Yep.
And I didn't see it coming. And I think getting blindsided by it has been very traumatizing.
You know what's funny? I think you might see it coming if you're paying attention.
But right, like, but you choose not to
notice all the signs. That just, like you said, you put blinders on, you see the finish line, you go for it. That's sort of how it is with that. You don't realize through the years that, like, you know, things are changing until something drastic like that happens. And yeah. Then it just hits you in the face.
Well, when you're a kid, it just seems like the role you're in now, which is being my parents' child, is my role.
Yeah.
For life.
I'm the kid. Yep.
And all of a sudden you're not the kid. And it's like, it's deeply depressing, but I'm trying to not focus on it as much as I can. Cause the more that I focus on that and this loss of what was, loss of childhood, loss of people. And so if I focus on that, I will definitely get way worse. So I have to keep reminding myself to not focus on it. And I notice actually the less I focus on it, the better I'm feeling.
I think they somehow the ball got dropped on our generation.
Yeah.
As far as adulting.
Right. Because it seems like my parents were ready for it.
Well, you look back at your parents and you're like, in their 30s, they were like set. They knew where they were going. They knew, and I feel like it's so different now. Like,
yeah.
No, you think, and like whenever you start feeling bad about yourself and where you are, it's like you look around at most of people around our age. They're not in too different of a boat, you know, like it's just, it happens later. And like, I think our parents did us a disservice.
Me too.
Like, we are not prepared for
no.
this shit.
No, assholes.
Yeah.
I wish my parents were just strict and mean and realists. So like nothing in the world.
That's not fun either.
Yeah, I know, but this sucks kind of getting hit with it later. But
yeah,
so life's been a little tricky, and essentially my main focus right now isn't this podcast, but I want to try to focus on it as much as I can because it's something that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. And that I want to do. But I'm distracted right now by just kind of almost going into survival mode. And I think we're right now in the calm of the storm because my mom hasn't lost her hair yet. She did her first chemo treatment, and she only goes once every 3 weeks, but it's like a 6-hour treatment. I think normally they're like 2 hours or something
like that.
So it's a very intense treatment. And so the last 9 days essentially that she's been out of the treatment, that's what's sobering. I'm the one in bed. I'm the lazy one.
She's
I'm
still
the
like,
one
do you
laying
need
around.
Anything?
Right, no. But what's weird is she is genuinely not asking that
for
the first time.
Is she yelling for you to make her a bowl of cereal yet?
She really is.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm, you know, messing around with her. I'm calling her like a slave driver and, you know, dictator and all this kind of stuff. And I said, this whole thing was just a ruse to get me to vacuum, wasn't it? This whole thing.
Yeah, it must be really tough on you guys.
It's really tough.
She's got super high standards.
Super high standards. So if you guys are not aware of my mother, which you're not, she has OCD in terms of cleanliness. Everything has to be exactly right. Whenever Kyle has come over to
Seen her house not look like they're about to show it.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like it's on display.
Yeah.
At all moments.
Like we joke about the carpet because she's got like every blade of the carpet facing the same way. So if you scuff your
now
feet
I'm responsible
on
for
the
it.
Other end, her mom will like notice it and go and fix it.
Yeah. And now I'm responsible for those vacuum lines. Yeah. And it's a lot of pressure.
Yes.
I'm losing it. But again, good focus off of the depression.
Yeah.
Now onto
it's
vacuum
keeping
lines.
You busy. Yeah.
Yeah. So
maybe this will end with you just becoming a housekeeper.
I know. I'm like, I'm growing.
Yes.
You do crazy things for a loved one with cancer.
Yep.
Like cook.
Yeah.
Like I've gone to the grocery store. I cooked butternut squash soup.
Like Campbell's?
No. Like I actually made butternut
you, like,
from
carved
scratch.
Up a butternut squash.
Yes. My mom said she wanted butternut squash soup. And I made butternut squash soup.
Wow.
I've never done that.
That's pretty awesome.
You know what she wanted yesterday? Blueberry muffins. I made blueberry fucking muffins. And do you want to hear the story that went along with this blueberry fucking muffins?
No.
It was crazy.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. It was insane. So my family, we're the type, we'd like to believe that, you know, we have people out there looking out for us. Guardian angels.
You have a very supernatural.
We do. We like
cult.
We like, you know, the idea of Jesus.
Yes.
Keeping us safe. So the day before the blueberry muffins, for some reason it came up about guardian angels.
The blueberries were in the shape of Jesus.
And yes, they were. And we just submitted them to the Sun Times. Yeah. Put it in the newspaper. The day before the blueberry muffins thing, obviously there's a reason, my mom brought up something about guardian angels. And I was like, yeah, but what about the people that are hit by a bus? Was there a guardian angels taking a day off? Are they on their smoke break? Like, what's going on with those guardian angels? Yeah. And so I was really bad mouthing.
I'm sure that made her feel good.
I know.
They don't exist, Mom.
They're not real. Yeah. You're on your own. Yeah. But that's kind of what
you
I was doing.
You need doctors, not angels.
Right. Yeah. Your guardian doctor over there. So I was really being cynical. And so that was 2 days ago. Yesterday, I'm making these muffins, which my mom wanted me to make them 2 days ago. And of course, I procrastinated. And then I woke up and she was hinting heavily at more blueberry muffins. She had all ingredients out ready to go. And I was like, all right, I get the hint. I'll make the blueberry muffins. So I put it off. And then around like 5 o'clock, I was like, oh, I gotta make these fucking muffins. And I hate being in the kitchen. I hate the shit. But I'm growing. This is forcing me to grow. Yep. So I'm putting it all together. I'm on the step of the flour. So I've got the cup and I dunk it into the flour and I measure it off and I do the knife over it to make it nice and even. Yep. And all of a sudden the house phone rings. And whenever the house phone rings, it's a creditor we're harassing.
Yeah.
Just for having that number open.
Yes.
So I never answer the house phone. But I thought, oh, maybe it's like one of my mom's doctors, because we're still waiting on some news about her biopsy, which I won't get into right now. But so I thought, yeah, I gotta answer, look at the phone, at least see who it is. So I look and it says Price Chopper. I was like, Price Chopper? And the first thing that went through my head, because we were texting earlier, I was like, maybe Kyle's working at Price Chopper, because Kyle works at a different grocery store.
Yes, I don't just go to any grocery store and work there.
But that was like the first thing that hit me to justify answering the phone, because I was just going to go Price Chopper. I'm not going to answer that. So I've got in
Kyle
my...
Kyle decided to call the house phone for the first time ever from a Price Chopper. It's a wildly...
It's what I needed to answer the call, though, so that's all that mattered.
Yeah, okay.
So
I know someone that works at a grocery store. Not that one. Maybe it's him.
So stupid.
Okay.
So I answered it because I thought, well, maybe Kyle's in a tight spot. Yeah. Something's going wrong.
I went to the wrong place. I need your help.
That'd be so amazing. So when I answer the phone, I have in my left hand a cup of perfectly measured off flour. I answer the phone. I've got the phone in my right hand. I say hello. And it's an automated woman. And she says, please hold for a very important message from Kyle. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
Please hold for a very important message from Price Chopper. So I hold. And then it says, hi, we're calling to inform you about a recall for King Arthur's flour, which is being recalled due to E. coli something. What do I have in my actual hand? But King Arthur's fucking all-purpose flour, which is exactly what they were calling for.
So did you use it?
So I dumped it in there and I was like, die, bitch. Yeah.
You want your fucking muffins? We'll see if you want your muffins.
Your muffins. My guardian angel didn't know we just set you up.
You had to go get other flour.
Well, so my mom goes, she looked at the other phone and she said, Price Chopper? As I was on the phone.
Imagine if you didn't answer.
Isn't that weird? So my mom goes, Price Chopper, as I still had the phone in my ear. And then I hung up and I kind of looked at her really concerningly. And I said, did you get this flower from Price Chopper? And she's like, I don't know. And I said, well, we're not supposed to use it. And she was like, what? And it just was the weirdest timing ever. it was literally someone calling going, hey, don't use that flower. Stop. Goodbye. And so I set down the flower.
That Kyle, is he playing a joke on me again?
I know. But I was like, thank God I don't have to make the muffins.
Yeah, right? You got,
out of it.
So you didn't make them.
No. So my brother stopped and got new flour and made the muffins. They turned out very well.
Good.
But it was kind of crazy. Really crazy. So then I apologized.
And soup.
I apologized to the guardian angels I was ripping on the day before. They're like, see, we'll prove to you.
Oh, so they won't save you from a bus, but maybe some food sickness.
Well, I think they were having mercy on my mom and us.
Yeah, of course.
Jeez. But the thing is, when you have cancer, you can't, obviously you can't have E. coli ever, but especially on cancer.
Yeah, your immune system's down. And
they said something specifically about like dog feces. And of course, what did my dog do like 2 nights ago? Shit all over my rug. And so then I cleaned it up and then I put the towel in the washer and then I put my mom's clothes after that in the washer. And I was like, oh no, what if there's like dog stuff left? Even though it was just like the, you know, it wasn't like pieces of dog poop, but like what I soaked up
the shit in the washing machine with the clothes.
Let it spin it
like
out.
Like a Tide tablet.
Right.
You didn't just drop it in there.
But then I got all paranoid because she's got these hives on her back from treatment. And if her pajamas now have dog shit in them, they're getting in her wounds. You know, it's very complicated. My brain is totally bogged down.
No, I can get that.
And I mean,
it happens.
It gets bogged down just from trying to figure out how to make blueberry muffins, let alone everything
else.
That
was a big chore. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Oh, I'm fucking exhausted.
You're a hero.
So then this morning, you know, I'm breaking down a little bit because my life is not exactly where I thought it would be.
You know, it's so funny. You're like, anytime you can. And then the first like three times I said, you're like, nope. Then I'm like, well, how about Friday? And you're like, okay. I'm like, what time? You're like, 2. So if you want to get anything done before that, you can't really. If you want to do anything after that, you can't really either. You pick like 2 o'clock. I'm like, 2? Really?
Well, see, I thought it was the perfect
time.
Well,
yeah. You're like, I've been up for an hour. Right. It's great.
I'm out of the shower. Yeah, I'm exactly. Fresh.
And I don't even, I'm just like,
Your day is ruined because it's smack dab.
Well, I get up at like 7:38 if I'm not working.
So this should be like 6 o'clock for you, basically. Well, 2 o'clock.
I don't want to do something before. I got something, you know. Like,
yeah, it is a tight squeeze. Well, I wanted to go to the gym before, but I was like, now it's a tight squeeze. I haven't been working out. But here's what happened before this. I almost feel like I'm in a movie. It's like a character study movie where they're just trying to break down this character.
It's Joker.
Yes. Really? Yes. Which, by the way, I can't wait to see. Oh, and we'll have to do a movie review.
Yes.
And a listener out there named Kevin. Hey, Kevin. He hates everything that we like, but he loves this podcast. So, which is amazing. He hates Quentin Tarantino, hates Seinfeld. And obviously, those are two of our deepest loves. But he said to warn you, because I said on our Patreon that you're going to be on this episode. And he said, tell him not to talk about Quentin Tarantino.
And here we are.
And here we are.
How do you hate him?
I don't know. He's Canadian, Kevin. They're weird up there.
So who's he like?
Canadians. I don't know. He likes
I love Canada. I do.
I know you love Canada.
I love Canada. But.
Oh, Canada.
But.
I actually love their national anthem.
Yeah.
It's very catchy. And I know the whole thing because I went to school.
I was with
on
you.
The border. No.
No, but we sang it.
We
in
sang
school.
It?
In school?
Oh, I thought it was just in college because I went to college.
I think we did in like a chorus.
No.
Reunion chorus.
No.
I
we're like
chorus.
Many hours from Canada.
I'm telling you, we sang Oh Canada.
Oh Canada.
How else would I know the words?
Our home and
native hockey.
Land.
They sing it at hockey games.
True patriot love. Yeah. But yeah, so Kevin said not to talk about Quentin Tarantino, but back to me.
I don't get not liking him.
I don't either. I don't
Maybe
understand
not how. All of his stuff, but there's got to be something
yeah,
for
I don't, him. I don't know. I don't know.
Fair enough.
But Kevin's a very nice person. So believe it or not, you can hate Quentin Tarantino, still be a nice person. Took me a little while
to
believe,
I get it.
But I thought he would suck. I would just assume whoever doesn't like Quentin would suck.
I'm just curious who he likes.
I know. I don't really know.
So I can shit on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll hook you guys up in direct message. Yeah. Shit on each other.
Yeah. He's like, I hate you. I hate everything you like.
But I'm going to hit play on that podcast.
Yeah, but I like the podcast.
Not bad. Get a pat on the back. Well, the breakdown part where I'm starting to like it feels like someone's just stoning
you. Haven't yet. You haven't had like a major breakdown.
Well, this morning I almost had a major breakdown.
And you knew you were going to see me.
Yes. But that's why I texted. I'd be 15 minutes late. And you were like, oh, I got to be done by 4:15 or whatever. And what I want to say is, you don't know what the fuck I'm dealing with. So if I'm 50 minutes late, you fucking deal with it. But I didn't. But this morning was like the fucking worst. Because the combination of my mom being a neat freak, clean freak, with cancer, the fact that I have a dog that is now dying and shitting and puking, the dog, because she's on all these diuretics, is peeing a lot. And so I can let her out every hour. She still has tons of pee. And I can't get a diaper on her or anything. And so she's going into my old bedroom, which is my niece's now playroom, and using that as her personal toilet, as my mom would call it. You know, that room is not her personal toilet. I'm like, well, guess what it is. So we try to our best to clean it, but it's the smell in there has gotten horrific. And so the other day I said to my mom, even me, I was like, we gotta get somebody in there. That's horrific. We need to get a car. And she was like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
But we had just had it cleaned like 2 months ago. So that this morning was the plan. So Stanley Steamer was coming over to clean the carpets. She had pooped on my carpet the other night. There's all this horrific smell in this other carpet, blah, blah, blah. So this morning, Stanley Steamer was coming over, and I said to my mom, I go, I just want to go to like the gym or yoga, or like, I need to get out of here. But and she didn't make me feel bad, but she was like, well, you know, I thought you could talk to the, you know, lead them and whatever. I was like, all right, I'll stay. I didn't really want to work out anyway. It was just
normally
a thing.
It sucks when the carpet cleaners are coming because there's a lot of cleaning. But I imagine you guys are in pretty good shape.
Well, there's a lot of we're in good shape, but we had to move some furniture. And So my mom called when she called Stanley Steamer. She said, "I have cancer. I can't have anyone in here with germs, so they have to wear masks and booties or something."
Yep.
And so that was the plan. And then of course they showed up this morning without masks, without booties, and without knowledge of the English language, which made it very difficult for me. And so it was just chaos. Because my mom's saying, "Where are your masks? I called 3 times. And my mom is like panicking. And these guys don't know my mom. They don't know how she functions. They didn't know about the masks.
Yep.
They could barely, like, we really could barely communicate. So they didn't know what was going on. So my mom's upset. Now she's on the phone with Stanley Steamer. And the guy, now the guy's
I want to speak to Stanley himself.
Yes. It's like, this is Mr. Steamer.
Yeah, yes.
And so now it's chaos. And now my mom's all freaked out. And now I'm getting irritated. And my dad's like trying his best to just like chill. But they said they were going to move the furniture, the guys. But they were not good. And they were not friendly. And they did not have the masks. And they clearly did not want to move the furniture. So then now me and my dad are moving the furniture, blah, 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 blah. So it's chaos trying to get this all in place. So they finally do the goddamn motherfucking rugs. And they get in the van and they go to leave. And my dad looks over at the freshly vacuumed carpet. And he goes, oh, no. And my dog had just thrown up after they left. Yellow.
It's like the smell
neon
of this clean is making me sick.
Neon yellow bile on the brand newly clean carpet. I could care less. It's that I have to deal with my mom now.
Yeah.
Because we just had them. They're in the driveway. So I was like, oh, God damn it. And so my dad was like, go get them. And I'm like, they're all cleaned up. They don't want to set up their stuff again. Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, but just go grab them. See what they say. So I run out there and I go, hey, sorry. You know, I know you guys are leaving, but my dog just threw up on your work.
You shouldn't have been such a bitch to us about the masks.
I know. Yeah. That's the thing. They would have gladly helped out.
Like, you gave us such a hard time.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw my mom under the bus for that one.
Look, she's sick.
I know.
She
that's
really
the
know
thing.
What she's going
I did that to them. Yeah. I was like, you know, the like a kind of like a Jerry thing. I'm like, So I said, please don't go. Please don't go. My dog just threw up on the rug that you just cleaned. Please. And so they said, okay, we'll get the spray. So I go back inside to then like get the first layer of bile off the freshly
It'd be funny if you didn't even touch it. You're just like,
well, I should have. But I'm a good person. Yeah, so I was like, I'm not going to make them get the first layer. I'll get the goo.
Yeah.
So I go to scoop off the goo. They drive away. They left.
That's even better.
They left.
That is the, why didn't you lead with this story?
And that's what I said to you.
Yeah, we'll be right in.
And that's what I said to you. I'll be 15 minutes late. And you're like, well, I got to be done by 4:15. I'm cleaning fucking bile off the freshly cleaned rug. And I'm like, fuck you.
That's great.
You have no idea what I'm dealing with.
Oh, my God.
So then I did, after the bile, my mom said, well, do you think maybe she's hungry? Because I said, well, she's dying and her organs are failing. And then my mom was like, well, maybe do you think she's just hungry?
She's hungry.
And all I do is feed this dog. And I love her, so I hate to say this dog, but all I do is feed her rotisserie chickens that are, like, I'm cutting up her food 3 times a day, making fresh meals. Yes. And my mom's like, maybe she's hungry. I'm like, maybe. Maybe I'm tired.
I'm slaving over blueberries, rotisserie chickens right. For her, the dog, blueberry muffins for you.
This is not the life I had planned. So when my mom said the thing about her maybe being hungry, and all my life consists of waking up and feeding her, giving her medicine, taking her on walk, getting home, having a 2-hour break, feeding her more medicine, taking a break. Then a few hours go by and feeding her more medicine with more fresh food. So anyway.
You know what? It's good karma, though.
No, good karma is... I deserve good karma.
That's what I mean. Like, you're banking that.
Okay. All right. Something I see. I thought you were saying... Because karma is like, I did something shitty. Now I'm getting repaid for it. Well, that's
you're doing something nice. So eventually something
hopefully,
good will
go your
way.
Hopefully, but I doubt it.
I'm telling you, I love animals, but I don't know if I could do that.
Okay. So for example... Before I came over here, you said there was a mouse and you caught it and you put it in your recycling bin. When I leave here, I'm leaving with this goddamn mouse because I feel bad. Yeah, I can't. There's something about animals. If I see this is the dog that is in my house right now that is dying of heart failure is a dog I found on the street.
Yeah.
It's like literally I can't walk away from it.
It's different with a dog than a mouse, though.
I know. Well, the mouse now my mom's going to have to deal with because that mouse is now going to be
you don't know
pooping and shitting in our house.
And stuff.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
you don't want to do that.
Obviously, I'm not going to like take it home. I'm going to put it in the woods or something.
Don't.
I'm
not
gonna
here.
Drive it away. No, I'm going to drive it far away. I'm not going to do it right in the backyard.
That's what I didn't want to just let it out because it'd probably come right back in.
No, I'm taking him far away. He'll be in someone else's house.
What if he's not in the box anymore?
Then I'll feel really bad, but I'll have to keep going. I'll drive away. You know, I have to let it go at that point. There's only so much I can do.
I mean, like, what if he's just in the bin?
We'll tip the bin over.
There's shit in the bin.
It's a recycling. Not recycling your shit. I know you don't clean your stuff. Anyway.
You don't need to. It's being recycled.
No, you do, because then it can ruin the whole pile. If you send something.
No.
That's what I've heard.
They clean it all. It goes through like a system. That's not,
keep telling yourself that.
Well, how many people you think don't clean the recyclables?
Well, that's how I justify it when I don't clean them. I'm like, no
exactly.
One's cleaning this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. You're not doing dishes to put in the recycling.
Oh, there's a little bit of crusted milk in that gallon. The whole machine broke down.
But that's what they say. But I put it in there.
No, they say plastic bags. You can't recycle the plastic bags in your bin because that ruins the machine.
Oh.
But a little bit of like olive brine on a can isn't going
to
do anything.
Well, I know, but I still get paranoid. Anyway, I'm a very good person. I killed a fly the other night and I said sorry to about 40 times. So I was going to sleep with it in my room and just let it go.
Is there any animal you would not have? Not that I'm like big game hunter out there killing animals, but like, where's that line for you?
Well,
like,
I eat meat. I'm a pretty big hypocrite.
No, but like.
I say.
You're not killing the meat to eat it.
No.
But like a fly, you still feel bad.
Horrible. A spider is kind of where I draw the line.
How about a worm? Would you fish with a worm?
So I don't fish. But if I did fish, I'd probably go with the little fake thing.
Yeah.
But if that didn't work, I'd probably just quit.
But okay.
But the more I would be more not using the worm of the fact that it's disgusting and I would not touch it. I would not touch a worm to put it on the hook.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I think I draw. But I like.
In how
my
about a cat?
Cats, they
they're just they're down there with worms.
Yes.
For me.
I'll use them on the hook. Yeah. I'll put that thing right through their mouth. No,
I don't like cats.
I love cats. I love any. When the summer at my sister's pool, she was like, you're insane because there were some, bugs or flies that flew in the pool that were struggling and I felt bad and I lifted them out and I put them on the concrete and let them live.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
But it's like, but this guy, he didn't choose to be a horse fly. So just because he's a horse fly doesn't mean he should be killed. And so he deserves a right at life.
Yeah, he had it. And he flew into a pool.
But he didn't know.
It's natural selection.
I know.
It's the way it's supposed to work.
I know. I found a frog in there last summer. Of course, obviously, Save the
Frog.
Well,
Frog's a little
yeah,
different.
Yeah, he's a buddy.
He'll
was
go
my
away,
friend Frank.
Too. They're not, like, pests.
No, he's Frank the Frog. But yeah. then I'm pretty sure he was probably just, like, eaten up in the lawnmower.
Oh, yeah.
Horrific.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, I can't even think about it. Anyway, life, the amount of cruelty and suffering that goes on every second of every moment for the past billion years is so mind-blowing that that's how I don't know how people don't have depression. You just have to not be aware of any of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd have depression regardless if there was cruelty or not. That just kind of adds to it. I'm not depressed because of the cruelty, but it's just like, wow, life is really fucking rough, man.
Yeah, it's not easy, that's for sure.
No, and now a new thing that I've been doing, because I'm going to sound like I'm getting religious, but I'm not. But roadkill.
Doing the rosaries every night.
well, I'm not far from it. Yeah. But with roadkill, I feel so bad for road. It's just left there. No one's thinking about it.
No,
everyone drives by it.
Departments come clean that up.
Yeah, but it's how many days is it sitting there? This poor, this little soul was put into this body to just be crushed by a shitty dump truck and left for several days to rot and have hundreds of people drive by it and not think twice about it. So when I drive by roadkill, just to let it know.
You beep.
Hey!
You beep, beep.
I leave it my number. Call me! If things work out, you know, yeah. if you can get up from there. No, but I do a little sign of the cross as I drive by. Just to let them know, just to let that poor creature know
forgotten.
That they were not forgotten.
What do you think of an idea of where we collect the roadkill, prepare it into food, and feed the hungry with it?
I think that's really evil and awful.
Evil?
This gotta be that roadkill. That can't be eaten.
Well, you'd have to pass it through certain
standards.
You wouldn't take like a week old, bloated, gross, rotted carcass and feed it to people.
But how quick are we gonna be on call? Like someone gonna call us the minute something gets hit? It's fresh. We're not gonna know.
This company is out.
No, I think that's a terrible.
Scouring the roads looking for fresh meals for the poor.
That really puts into perspective how you think of the poor.
No, that's compassionate.
It's hilarious that
are you telling me a homeless person want to enjoy a nice bowl of venison stew?
It's literally like you saying, I think we should have a program for we all poop in boxes and then we have the company come pick it up and feed it to the homeless.
You know what? It is literally, it's using literally there might be a little bit of a stretch. It's not even close to feeding the homeless feces.
Yes, it is.
It's real food.
It's bloodied guts with germs all over it from the road.
Like I said, it would be. It's just like the recyclables. There's a system.
You know what? You're looking. You're reach. You know how I reached at the beginning for that bridge analogy?
No, this is way better than the bridge. This is way better than that. I'm just saying.
It's way worse.
What happens to those carcasses?
Well, the thing is, I would like to say to give them some sort of purpose in life. You fed a homeless person. You poor animal that was crushed on the side of the road. Yeah,
exactly.
I get that. But
it's like
no,
the Indians use every part of the buffalo.
Right. You know?
Native American.
I just
Sorry.
Think homeless. Yes. Yikes. Collar stretch.
Yes.
I think the homeless people might turn their noses up. If I was homeless, I'd say, listen, really? I'm homeless. I have
the
no
homeless
living
people
standards.
That I've seen masturbate to a Sears catalog on the subway.
That's how bad roadkill is. They're like, listen,
You're
I
like,
will masturbate
I have
to a
too
Sears
high
catalog.
Standards to that.
Yeah, but that's where I draw the line. Yeah.
I won't eat roadkill.
No, unless it's really highly seasoned.
Yes. Again, not the grossest of the gross, but you could probably find some turkey gets hit or something.
Okay. I'm picturing like squirrels and raccoons. You're picturing more deer.
Edible foods. I mean, I'm not going to feed rats. And
I have heard, because I think I've said that before, of like, if you hit a deer, like, shouldn't you just take it home and eat it? Not like the everyday man, but
yeah,
someone if
yeah,
they're
if
into
they
deer
were,
or
yeah.
something. But I've heard it, the blood or something, like,
well,
once it gets
organs
hit,
rupture and stuff,
right.
then some of it.
You can't.
But again, if this was a company made to do it, you can't tell me they couldn't get there's, you know, the legs are okay. We can feed them some of the meat, you know, like if this is their profession, I think they could go through the roadkill and find edible food.
Maybe.
Solving the world's problems one
God.
At a time here.
Thank God you're not president. Well, actually.
I was going to say, that might be more
another
sane than some
stretch.
Of the stuff we've
eek,
heard.
Eek.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway.
2020, guys.
Yeah. Life's cruel. We got to feed homeless people, roadkill. People have to get cancer. It's just life is rough.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the effort in trying to save the homeless, Kyle. Your efforts are not going to go in vain.
I'm a humanitarian.
You are. I'm a bugatarian.
Yeah, you'll see. You do.
I hate bugs, but I'll save them.
You save them. Yeah.
If one's on me, I will curse them to hell.
I'm not a bug guy. Yeah, I don't feel bad about bugs, squirrels, apparently mice.
I feel really bad about squirrels. I took one to a squirrel mender.
Squirrels are rodents, though.
Rodents are little cute fuzzy animals. No, they got fingers. Pests. If you look at a squirrel, it has opposable thumb. How can you turn your nose up to opposable thumb?
Red panda experience.
I don't know what that is.
At the zoo. I got to go in the cage and feed the red animals. The red animals, the red pandas.
I wish they killed you.
No, they're nice. Alive. They're friendly. It was awesome.
That is pretty cool. Well, my dream is to go on a chimpanzee sanctuary or like a monkey sanctuary.
Really?
Yeah. And I just want to be hugged by a monkey. Not you. A real monkey. But I really
do.
They look.
They're dangerous.
I know. I don't want to lose my face, but yeah, I feel like.
Exactly. Like, they'll rip your jaw off.
Well, I'll put it at the end of the bucket list. So just
but
in case.
The Patreon could come piling in if I did a monkey
really,
video.
Really? Seriously. That's good content.
Yeah.
But monkeys look like they give the best, most authentic hugs.
Yeah.
I'd like a hug
from
a
monkey.
The
way they smoke cigarettes, too.
Me, too. They're so
whenever
smooth.
You see them smoking cigarettes, they look like the coolest monkeys.
They got them. Yeah. They're movie stars, really.
Yes, they really are.
Like Clint Eastwood up there.
You hear those stories, though, about somebody that had a monkey for 25 years and then it snapped and murdered
well,
the
that
family.
One woman lost her face.
Yeah, her face.
To her chimpanzee. He literally, and she had the first face transplant.
Oh, she did?
Yes. Hey, I got a lot of work to do. Horrible.
I guess it worked.
I mean, that poor woman.
Can you imagine the people, like when she's like, well, what do you think? And they're like, well, you know, you're alive.
It's not as bad.
Yeah.
It's not really saying much.
It's
but.
Like Drew Brees had that big mole on his face removed.
He did?
He had years ago, but now there's a big scar.
So
it's like, just keep the mole. Well, you still have a big mark on your face.
Yeah, I'm still going to be either way.
Yeah. It's just as noticeable now as it ever was.
So on Monday, I was in Albany going to a dermatologist, as I mentioned when I first came over here, and you happened to text myself and Jen at the same time that I happened to be in Albany. Thanks a lot, because then it made me look bad for not doing a podcast with
Jen. I didn't know
you
were in Albany.
I know. But I went up there, you know, not even thinking about podcast stuff. But anyway, I have a little tiny dot on the end of my nose. Can you see it?
No.
Okay, good. It's been there for 4 years. I finally was like, I got to go to the dermatologist. What is this? It's annoying me. It looks like I have a permanent little pimple.
What do you say?
She was like, it's really nothing.
And that's what I figured.
And she goes,
like
if you wanted
your hair part.
Yeah, she's like, if you wanted us to shave it, it will probably leave worse of a mark there. So that'll be $100. Because I didn't take my
You
insurance.
Are certifiably insane. Thank you. Have a good day. Here's the check.
And I go, well, since I'm here. Seriously, I go, well, since I'm here, do you guys have that ultraviolet light where you can see all the damage to your skin, the sun damage? And so she was like, sure. So I was like, there is more of like a fun appointment.
It's like,
just like
playing
a museum. With this light. Yeah.
Like a field trip.
Yeah. And I was like, thanks. It was so weird. Because literally like that, she was like, that's it. I said, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe there's a cream you guys had.
You are wild.
But I really wanted it because she didn't give me any help. I wanted to pull the Jerry thing and be like, all right, Dr. Pimple Popper. Cancer. Skin cancer.
Wow. So that's maybe that's why you went, though, because all the cancer stuff, maybe you're a little bit more.
Well, I did actually, because I do have a little bump underneath my skin on my face, too. That is a little concerning. It's just kind of strange. It's a new random like hard spot under my skin. And she said, well, I can't tell you anything unless we biopsy it. And, she, you know, she's like, and I don't think it's worth biopsying. So keep your eye on it. I'm like, cool. Can I take a look at the ultraviolet light again?
Like, thanks for wasting my time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but she was a physician's assistant, so I think maybe if I saw an actual doctor,
shin.
I'd...
Weird little bumps.
Mm. See? Gotta go get checked
I
out.
Do.
Go get checked out. I don't know. Anyway, you should get checked out. We should all get checked out. I actually now am paranoid because my grandfather... This is what I didn't mention. My grandfather died of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. His brother died of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, my mom has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She's not going to die of it.
Her
this is where
father.
I get freaked out and knock on wood. My grandfather, her father. And so now I'm a little paranoid about the lymphoma because I have a weirdly little swollen lymph node under my arm and by my groin. They're tiny. It's small, but it's like a little bean. And now I'm like, geez, now I got to worry about this shit.
Well, yeah, but like we said, it's super treatable. And now you'll know to look out for.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, yeah.
No, definitely. I know. I'm not that worried about it.
It's probably just, good.
It's like, oh, geez. When we went to look for wigs, I was very good the whole time. Like, I was like, don't ask to try on the wigs. Cause I wanted to try on so much. We actually, and I wanted to finish talking about that real quick. We found a place that was awesome in New York City that makes incredibly beautiful, amazing wigs. And there, it's called Angels of New York. They're a gay couple. They are my dream New York couple. They make wigs for Broadway and for cancer patients.
Nice.
And they are fabulous and stylish and awesome. And I was like in heaven going to, I was like, I'm in New York with wig makers. Like, it was awesome. So I did not ask them if I could try on their wigs because I didn't want to be tacky. Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, these guys are really cool. These are like really expensive wigs.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't ask. But then we went to this kind of junkier place that was like kind of
You didn't
like,
feel bad.
No, I was like, ah! You know, I know my mom's got cancer and stuff and we're looking for like a real reason, but I'm kind of curious what I'd look like as a blonde. And so she was like,
how'd
okay,
it look?
Not bad. Not bad. I posted I can't picture Instagram. It didn't, it was like a darker roots with a blonde, like as it grew out a little bit. It wasn't like blonde from the root.
Yeah, yeah.
It looked pretty decent. And I posted it on Instagram stories. I got a few comments saying you should go blonde. So
interesting.
I said they were, you should go blonde.
You'll have more fun.
I won't. That's the thing, is I'll prove that that's not true.
They'll be like, you're not a natural blonde.
No, you're miserable.
You can tell by your demeanor.
I know. My sister just kept saying, you're not a blonde. Like, stop it. Yeah. You know, it's not my personality.
No, it's not.
But it did look not bad. But yeah, my sister was just like, it's just not you. Like, it wouldn't work with your personality. But I'm losing my mind.
Black.
So
just jet
I
black.
Have. And it sucks. It doesn't work. It doesn't
jet
look good.
That's a tough.
It's a tough color. Yeah. Anyone who can pull off the jet black's real hottie.
Yeah.
I can't. But anyway, with my mom's wig, I just want to talk about that really quickly. I was determined to find a nice place to go to because of my mom's reaction to losing her hair and to how horrified she was. So I was really surprised at how difficult it was to find somewhere with really quality wigs. And of course, the ones that are really quality are like $5,000, $6,000 starting. And I was excited because I found a wig maker, the wig maker who made the wig for, what's her name, in Splash. Did you ever see Splash with Tom Hanks?
Yeah. Daryl
Hannah. Daryl Hannah, the long blonde.
In Tarantino's Kill Bill.
Oh, yes. That's for you, Kevin. Ha ha. Yeah. he made the wig for her in that movie.
Okay.
And I love that movie. So I was like, ooh, I'm going to try to book an appointment with him. His wig started at like, they were insane.
$1,200.
Like $6,000.
Yeah.
It was like
$1,200 cheap.
Yeah. That was like nothing. Yeah. He'd be like, honey, $1,200. Get out of here. So I was trying to find somewhere that was reasonable that did good wigs. And so whenever you type in search for wigs with cancer, it's like, the clown wigs, basically. Like, I can't believe the standards are so low. And we went to this one woman locally who, she was so sweet, but she was clueless, and she has a wig shop, but it's all synthetic hair. It's all so fake looking, and she's doing a disservice to the women who are looking for something reasonable. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but my mom sobbed so hard when she tried on the stuff there that
it was a disservice
to my mom. I mean it was awful. Anyway, so I ended up finding through lots of searches these guys called Angels of New York. So if anyone's ever looking to get a wig made, they are fabulous. They do an amazing job, and my mom, because of them, now doesn't have as much fear for losing her hair. Obviously it's still going to be bad, but they handled her so delicately and lovelyly. And anyway, the
so,
end.
So
but I found
out.
A blonde wig.
What if we take the roadkill and make wigs for homeless?
That is something I can get on board with. I'm sick of their dirty hair. I don't want to see it.
Yes. It's a great
idea. That's not a bad idea. I mean, raccoons, they got some nice shades.
Thick hair.
Mm-hmm. Very thick. Very thick. So anyway, thank you for... I'm not talking to you. I know whenever I go to say thank you, it's like, who am I talking to? The audience or you?
Not me. I
not
just
you.
Assume not me.
Yeah, I just kick you in the head. So the point of this episode is thank you for understanding if the show isn't up super frequently for the next couple of months. I'm going to try, but again, it's not my priority at the moment because
slow
I'm
goings
baking.
If I'm on two episodes in a row.
Very slow goings. My standards are low.
Yep.
But I mean, I've taken all my time's taken up baking.
I know.
And it has not just been muffins.
You should have brought some muffins over.
I know I should have. I really should have.
Yeah.
But what's cool, though, I realize it's not so hard to make muffins.
Yeah, right.
As long as you don't have E. coli flour.
Just flour, eggs, milk, and...
sugar.
Blueberries.
Blueberries.
Stir it up.
A little baking powder.
I know a thing or two about baking.
Yeah. Wasn't that bad. So I'm growing. So allow me this time to grow. I'm going to try to post episodes as much as possible. But if I don't, please forgive me. I am a caretaker
at
the moment.
What kind of videos going on Instagram or on your...
So we are taping this episode with my...
She didn't tell me.
Yeah, no. Because I didn't want you to do your makeup and stuff. I just wanted you to be all natural.
Natural.
So taping this episode and putting it in with a camera on my phone and putting it on Patreon. Not the whole thing, but some behind the scenes chunks.
Some really crazy
really
behind
crazy
the scenes
great
stuff.
Footage. And that'll be up on patreon.com/KristenandChill. I'm still posting up there, even though it's a little bit slower, and I'm posting videos of this experience that I'm kind of going through with my mom. And please say prayers for my mom if that's your thing. Send out good vibes, because that's my thing. Even though I hate that good... Whenever anyone says good vibes only, they have like the worst vibes.
I told my mom that your mom was sick, and she's like, I wish I knew, I just saw her.
Aww.
And I'm like, so what?
Yeah,
would
like,
you
would
have
you
been like, hey,
I got
I
a
hear
cure.
You're sick.
Let like, me take that lymph node yeah. out. Well, the good thing is, and I won't keep going on, but there has been some progress already with the chemo, because she had these really swollen lymph nodes that have already shrunken. So nice. They're not swollen. And she had lymphedema in her leg from the lymph nodes, which meant her leg was totally swollen. Her leg has gone down. Her ankles, because, you know, it had gone through her whole leg. So
good.
Her leg looks normal.
That's good, because then she feels like, okay, there's...
Yeah, but the other part is she has a port in her right now,
yep.
which is kind of disturbing.
It's weird. Yeah.
Real creepy. It's like an alien.
Yep.
You know, and you're just going to give birth through your chest.
Yeah.
That's real fucked up.
I know. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Me
until
neither.
My aunt, and then I was like, oh.
Yeah. But props to everyone. It's really disrespectful way to say to someone who passed away from cancer. But
yeah.
So much respect to anyone who's gone through cancer and lost someone to cancer or survived cancer. It's an asshole.
Yeah.
And you really don't know it. And you know it, of course, from the outside. Someone goes, oh, they have cancer. You're like, ugh, sorry. Yeah. That's terrible. Glad I'm not you. But when you're in it, it's all the nuances are
a lot
are
of people
huge.
Say like you've been affected or someone you know hasn't been affected, and if they haven't yet, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
At some point in your life, you're gonna be close to somebody that gets,
yeah you gets are because it's just, so common.
Yeah,
and it's a shitty thing. In solidarity, people kind of, you know, will shave their head or something. I'm like, I'll like sleep in solidarity with you,
yeah,
mom.
Like
I'll
put
lay.
A port in me,
right?
But don't touch
right,
my hair.
Right. I actually did say, I said, mom, if I will. I said, I'll do a pixie cut. I really will. If you are really upset about your hair and like you're really, and I know she wouldn't make me do that or want me to do it, but I told her, I said, I'm totally willing to. I know she won't want me to.
I can't imagine you without long hair.
I know. I will look like such a lesbian with short hair, won't I?
Yeah.
I'll be getting hit on left and right, though.
You will be popular with the ladies.
I will. Which, hey. I mean, who knows? Things haven't really worked out in the other
say,
party,
yeah,
so.
My wedding.
Swap over that team. But anyway, all right. Well, thanks for letting me talk it out again.
Yeah.
This show now should just be called Kyle, My Therapist.
I don't know about that. Therapists add something.
Well, no, they don't. They're pretty useless.
No, you're pretty much doing that job.
Yeah, you really are. It's the same thing. I just get to talk about myself and then move on with my day.
Okay.
All right. Well. Anything you'd like to promote?
No. Yeah.
It'd be amazing if one day you did. Like if you were like, yeah, I wrote something. Like,
yeah.
You're funny. You should
do
something.
I have a web series coming out.
No, really?
No, I have nothing.
No, of course you don't. All right. Well, go file. Go follow. Go follow Kyle.
I'm a tough follow.
I know. You got a couple good retweets every now and then, like that you pick out.
Yeah.
That's, you don't generate content.
I really don't.
But I mean, Kyle's a good guy. Give him a follow.
Yeah, it matters. So
it does.
Much to me.
Seriously, if you get a new follow and it all of a sudden it lifts up your day, right?
I don't know.
Feel good?
You know what? Honestly, I wish it did.
Oh, damn.
Because I see how people use that as currency. But honestly, I'm just like, poor bastards. Gonna be let down.
All right. Well, I'm sure I forgot to say a bunch of things, but I'll say it at the intro. So
yeah.
Stay bored enough to listen.
But not too bored.
Bye, guys.
Bye.